We continue our conversation, and we're going to talk about the disclosure initiative.
Okay, thanks, Hans. Good morning, everyone. So we have got two disclosure initiative topics to talk about today, and we're going to start with agenda paper three, which is about the definition of material. So this is an exposure draft that is currently out for comment that is essentially proposing a few clarifications to that definition in our literature. So what we'll do with this session is briefly explain a bit of background to the exposure draft and what those clarifications are, and the current project timeline. We will keep that short because what is most important from our perspective is hearing your thoughts. So in terms of background then, we have heard a fair bit of feedback that companies are facing some challenges today in applying materiality judgments when they're preparing financial statements and deciding what to disclose. And there are perceived to be a good number of reasons for this. Now, some think the primary reasons are more behavioural than about the words that are written in the standards. So for that reason, at the same time this ED was published, the board also issued a practice statement which contained non-authoritative guidance and examples designed to help companies in making those judgments. However, that said, we did also have feedback that there are some ways we could improve the words in the definition of material that would be helpful, and that is what the exposure draft is about. So on slide three, you can see at the bottom in the bold text a paragraph that underlines essentially the three clarifications that are being proposed. Just a couple of high-level things to mention before I run through those three clarifications. The first is that the board very much see these as clarifications rather than in substance changes to the definition of materiality. And if these proposals were to go ahead and be done, one of the impacts of them would be to make the words on materiality across our literature the same throughout the conceptual framework, IAS 1 and IAS 8. The other thing I'll mention is the fact that some of what we are proposing is about making things more prominent. So there are certain words about materiality that are perhaps further down standards and not in the definition itself, which the proposals suggest making more prominent within that definition. So the first of the three clarifications is a good example of that, in that it refers to the idea of obscuring information. So the definition of material that we have at the moment focuses very much on information that, if it were to be omitted or misstated, would influence decisions. It doesn't talk about the concept of information being obscured. That is talked about in paragraph 30 of IAS 1, but not the definition itself. So the clarification that you can see underlined there is to bring that concept of obscuring to a more prominent place and make clear that obscuring material information potentially has similar negative consequences to omitting it entirely. The second clarification that you can see is that we are proposing changing could influence decisions to could reasonably be expected to influence decisions. And the reason for that is to do with concerns we've heard that a threshold of could influence is potentially too low of a bar, in the sense that anything in the world theoretically could influence a decision, albeit in many cases that might be extremely unlikely. So that second point is really about addressing concerns about where the bar is there. The third clarification is to make clear that where the definition of material refers to users of financial statements, we're talking about primary users of financial statements defined in the same way as is done in the conceptual framework. And again, that's in response to some concerns that potentially users of financial statements alone could catch an extremely wide range of people and is essentially too low of a bar. So that's the three clarifications that are being proposed. In the appendix to the slide pack, there is a detailed summary of the wording suggestions themselves, but I don't propose talking through those. They are there for reference if they're helpful. And finally, on slide four, just to note the timeline for this, we published the ED back in September. The comment period remains open and will be open until the 15th of January, so in just over a month's time. So with that summary, I'll move straight on to the questions that we have for you, which are on slide 6. We're very happy to take comments across both of these questions together, and essentially what we would like to ask is what your views are on the proposals in the exposure draft and whether there's any wording or terminology in there that might be difficult to understand or translate.
Health has some recent experience to share with us.
I struggle with the word obscuring. And I say that because I think back to when I did this for a living. I knew that on page 200 was going to be a particular set of information I was going to look at. So I had already read all the documents in advance from prior periods, and I knew where that piece of information that was decision useful was going to be. So the fact that it was on page 200 as opposed to page 2, is that obscuring because it's deeper into the financials? And why does placement really matter, particularly in a technology age? So I'm struggling with that word obscure. What is it adding? And you know, you and I could be looking at the same set of financial statements. I've read them and you haven't. I know where to go to and you may not, or vice versa. I'm not certain how I would ever define obscuring for a broad set of investors, forgetting about primary, which I also have thoughts and comments about, but I'll hold those until we deal with obscuring.
On the obscuring point, I think it's broader than just placement in the financial statements. It's the idea that you perhaps bury a really important piece of information in a sort of three-page narrative description. It's not just it's on page 200. And it's also this whole idea that, you know, if you have something that is particularly material, you ought to be highlighting that in the financial statements rather than, you know, leaving it to people who are, you know, sort of very conscientious in their analysis to plow through to page 200.
I understand the comment in that there are people who are very effective writers, and I'm going to assume that the obscuring is really related to text, not so much numbers, though you could probably obscure things with numbers as well. So are we going to start grading off for people who are really good writers and not good writers? I mean, that you're starting to delve into, is someone a very succinct writer or someone who likes to use lots of words to say the same thing? Both get me the information. Neither are, to me, it's not a materiality issue. It's just good writing and bad writing. I would drop that phrase because I don't think it adds anything, because I think we have too many different types of investors where obscuring to one is not obscuring to another.
I would not be surprised if we would get a lot of comments on specific issue. Yeah. I think you have a valid point.
You have a very good intent there. I just don't think the words are necessary. But I don't have a solution for you other than just striking it, because I think you capture pretty much everything with omitting or misstating.
Jay-ho.
Thank you. My comments are exactly echoing Hannah's comment. So I hope the ISB would more specifically describe those cases in which information is obscured. Whether information is omitted or misstated would be easily determined, because those problems are objectively noticed. By contrast, it wouldn't be easy to determine whether information is obscure or not, because it is likely to entail subjective judgment. It may sound funny, but some information written in small letters than other information would be regarded as obscure. I don't think this is the case the ISB intended with this proposal. Having said that, such a funny interpretation would be possible without clear description. So in my opinion, the ISB could explain a few types of cases where information is obscured. For example, information may become obscure when it is inappropriately aggregated with dissimilar information, or when it is eclipsed by other lengthy information. In summary, the wording obscure itself is obscure.
Well said.
Lynn?
we appreciate the board effort to revise the definition, but to us the revision is rather minor and does not change the substance of the definition. Therefore, we suggest to keep the standards as it is for now and reconsider it, reconsider the definition and the impact in the disclosure initiative project, and you don't have to change the standards regularly.
So, sorry, just to clarify, that you think we should make a more fundamental revision to the definition of materiality?
I think you should coordinate the definition and the impact with the other factors in the disclosure initiative project.
So don't rush into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Linda?
Thanks. So while we like the notion of consistency, we would probably agree with everything that's been said so far with the notion of obscuring. Even if you look at the construct of the sentence, you're talking about omitting information or misstating information, so you're talking about that piece of information. Then suddenly you say, or you're obscuring it with other information, so you're going to an indirect item about that information. It's not directly about that. And I think people are going to have a difficult time actually figuring out how to apply that. I mean, I don't particularly find, and maybe you take a chapter out of this in terms of prominence, maybe in IS1 this notion of obscuring material information should be more prominent. Maybe it should be appear earlier or have more emphasis. But I think the way you've constructed it could cause some issues in terms of people understanding what it means, what they're supposed to do about it. In IFRS standards, you don't prohibit necessarily today immaterial information. You don't go out and say you cannot put immaterial information in. And so I think you need to get the message across, but I'm not sure this is going to achieve what you want to achieve, bottom line.
So is it more the placement and the definition that you're questioning as opposed to the idea?
I don't question the idea. I'm not sure the way you've done it will achieve what you're trying to achieve. And I think it could raise more questions. And I admit that in my past life I'm scarred by this because I joined RBC in 2003. I wasn't going to tell the story, but I'm going to. So in 2003 I joined RBC, and in 2004 I joined the Accounting Standards Board. Okay, and the board was making what they thought was a very nothing change to what in essence was a concept document, a section of our handbook. And as it turned out, it completely, the way the auditors read it, changed the way you had to do things in banking and the face of our statement. And so as a new chief accountant and a relatively brand new board member, I was caught in the crosshairs of this. So I do actually have scars on my back with regard to something like this. So don't underestimate how putting something in can cause people to reflect, and it could change practice. So I'm just saying, you know, if you want to get to the point where you say you shouldn't be throwing a whole bunch of crap in front of material information, then say that in
your hand. Oh, yeah.
I don't think you should use crap. There you go.
Okay, thank you for this clarification. Andrew.
Well, we agree on obscuring. The definition is partly a housekeeping exercise and partly a signalling exercise, is how I put it. Housekeeping's a good thing. We've issued our draft comment letter, so we'll get comments in early next month and see where the final comment letter takes us. What we say in our draft comment letter is actually you could remove the words obscuring, but also actually remove misstating and omitting. A neat definition would just say information is material if it could be reasonably expected to influence decisions, etc., etc. And not omitting material information is something that's already stated in IFRS, and it's implied where it's not stated, and the same comment would apply to misstating. So just a definition is not the right vehicle to try and get across these points that you should not be obscuring, misstating, or omitting material information. We do support adding the words reasonably expected to. I see them more as a sort of codification of what we presume is already being done in practice, but no harm in making it explicit. And one different point, Scathen, you said that this aligns the definition of materiality across the literature. I actually read in another comment letter, there are 100 other uses in the literature, apparently, of the word materiality, and it's not entirely clear if actually they are all used in a consistent context or meaning, so perhaps there's a further bit of housekeeping to be done just to look right across the literature and see if this new definition would actually work in the different contexts in which the word materiality is used.
Andreas?
I will not comment any more on obscuring information, only to say that the audit profession seems to be a big fan of that. So they have no clue how they should put any testimonial on whether something is obscured or not. So along with the others, I think you're probably not doing yourself a favor if you keep this in.
Did you say they are a big fan of obscuring? Or?
Everything that I'm about to say can... Okay, better not comment anymore. No, to make it abundantly clear, that I don't like it. Okay. We feel that two bits on materiality are probably commingled here, which make it a bit difficult, because there is the qualitative characteristic of information being material, and there is the way of presenting relevant information, when all these obscuring, omitting, misstating comes in. And I think you probably need to concentrate, and that ties into what Andrew just said, as to are we talking about the relevance aspect of the information, or are we talking about that presentation aspect? And the two might have different implications. In terms of the language issue, I think that the text reading called is clear, but I urge you to think about negations. Is material the opposite of immaterial and not material? And you could go on. Is significant the opposite of insignificant and not significant? And I think there are shadings, probably. We would probably say insignificant is not the opposite of significant. So does the same go for material, not material go as well? And this also could be a housekeeping exercise, because sometimes we work with the negation. So we say something doesn't have to be presented or disclosed if it is not material. Do we mean not material, or do we mean immaterial, or what is it really that we are meaning? Just then peeking ahead a bit, I think materiality is probably the most important concept when it comes to wider corporate reporting, because the non-financial era also has a materiality concept. And if you go further and think about the borderline where financial reporting meets non-financial reporting, the least thing that people want is two different concepts of materiality that don't really tie into each other. So I urge you to look into other work that, for instance, the IRC or GRI or others have done, if you have not done so already. I would say that most of it, what they put out for non-financial, is pretty much aligned, but not entirely the same. And you don't want to create any more havoc. I stop here, probably.
Yeah, I do think the definition of integrated reporting is almost verbatim the same, isn't it? I'm not sure.
You've been involved in that, haven't you?
Yeah, but... we at the Corporate Reporting Dialogue, we came up with a common statement of principles, which I wrote and led, but remarkably was aligned with the exposure draft before our materiality. But actually, I don't actually remember any individual unit, you know, IRC, GRI, I don't remember their specific definitions. They were pretty much aligned. The focal point of what's material, value creation versus historical reporting versus sustainability, was all over the board. But I think generally, as best I can recall, we were all saying the same thing. It could make a difference in some user's evaluation. I think that was common.
But I think the user point is the important bit, because the audience might be different. Well, IRC has the investor as the core user, but non-financial reporting does not necessarily have the investor as the core user.
That is absolutely is true. I mean, there's larger society and,
exactly.
and everything else, but the IRC and I think ISB, we're sort of aligned. It's the investor, you know, with their people with money at risk in the reporting enterprise is who we consider.
Okay. Thanks, Hans. I must say, when I read the proposed provisions, I thought, well, they were actually useful. And I suppose maybe, again, it's in my mind on the concept of obscuring. I thought, well, this was the board's attempt to make the preparation of financial statements not a compliance exercise, you know, which I think in many cases it tends to be. And so that preparers give more thought to the way information is provided, as opposed to it being, a tick box exercise, and the view is, no, but I did disclose that, and you're saying, you know, even though it was hidden on some page, you know, often in small font and whatever else type of thing. So I think it was probably in that context that I didn't really have a problem with the word obscuring. But I suppose, you know, depending upon other people's perspectives, maybe it's not so clear. So I think that the board has got good intentions in referring to that, because I do think that more thought needs to be given into the way information is provided. I must say, listening to Andrew and his comments, yeah, I mean, I think that perhaps looking at a definition of material, and as Andrew says, well, isn't it all just about it being information which reasonably could influence decision making? But then I think the question would be is, okay, so where should there be reference to information, you know, being or shouldn't being omitted, misstated, or obscured, and is that better placed, you know, in IS1 on presentation, or is that better placed in, you know, well, principles of disclosure? Don't know, but I suppose I think it needs to be there, and whether or not it's here or it's somewhere else, I don't know if that's such a big issue. But I certainly think that, well, I like the inclusion of the word obscuring, but maybe if there's some concerns, maybe that means there needs to be a little bit more of an explanation as to what the board has in mind, etc., so that, you know, it's not the case of, well, if it's on page 250, then that means it's obscured necessarily, but it really is all about, you know, as a preparer's giving more thought to the way information is presented.
Nobu?
Yes, thank you, Hans. We share many of the comments that have been said already. We have three points. First is that we generally support aligning the language throughout the documents. The second is that many of our constituents are concerned with the term obscuring. The third is that we think the importance of the piece of information and the context of that information being provided are two separate issues, so they shouldn't be mixed together.
David?
So, again, support the views or support the proposal to align the definition of materiality. Echo the views or concerns around obscuring. So, support adding this in, as we acknowledge that obscuring material information is an issue, but not quite clear yet on what is meant by obscuring and difficulties that could have in practice. Also supportive of adding in this reasonably be expected to. I think that will help give preparers the confidence to apply materiality going forward, and that's definitely what we heard coming out of our pod outreach too. One question I probably do have is around the removal of economic in economic decisions and why that was done, and whether you thought that there were actually wider decisions that the primary users might be making, and if so, it might be more beneficial to explain or detail those other types of decisions.
I don't think we had broader decisions in mind there. We were looking at alignment with the conceptual framework, which I think refers to economic decisions, but I'd need to go back to that. So we need to look at consistency there, I think.
So it might maybe be helpful to bring that into the standard.
Leonardo?
Thank you.
Yes, we also have some concern about the proposal to include the term obscuring in the definition of material. This is because we think that the term obscuring is judgmental, while misstatements and omission are more factual. So for this reason, we suggest to remove from the definition the term obscuring.
Patrick? One point. We are wondering why we mentioned primary users. I'm wondering if it shouldn't be broader than that in the definition. So that's one minor point. I subscribe to what has been said on obscuring, but I would like to add this.
I just comment on primary users. That's, again, for alignment with the conceptual framework, which defines the primary uses of the financial statements.
Yeah, but it obscures the matter. No, I'm sorry.
Al?
I'm sorry I didn't ask this question earlier, Catherine, but when I read this definition, it gives me a sense that you're doing it from a human consumption standpoint, a human picking up financial statements and reading them. To what extent have you tested this against the movement toward greater and greater use of computer consumption of information? And I'm not going as far as what we traditionally have thought of as the quants, where they just, you know, measure things and they flash trade and all that. I'm talking about humans using computers to consume information, and that clearly is directionally where we're heading. And this whole definition of materiality starts to take on a new feel to it when you think about obscuring. Well, I would say words totally unnecessary if I've taught the computer to go to page 200 to find that piece of information. I've taught it that. I don't need to pick it up and flip to 200. It just automatically does that and gives me back a grade on whatever the issue is. The notion of what could be expected to change my decision, the floor of materiality drops as you have the ability to consume that information through mechanical means as opposed to human reading and absorbing. The computer doesn't forget anything. It remembers, it connects dots in different ways than you and I would on a day-to-day basis. So have you tested this definition against this longer-term trend of using greater and greater computer technology?
The short answer to the question you've asked is that we haven't. But to give a bit more detail around that topic, because in the next session when we talk about principles of disclosure, you'll see that it is something that we've had quite a theme coming through on the feedback, that is something broader than just materiality. There is a view out there that the board should be thinking in the context of future technologies in terms of many of the disclosure initiative considerations.
I'm just modifying one thing. It's not future, it's right now. And I've been spending a good bit of time the last couple of months talking to investors who are making greater and greater use of technology. And they're not replacing the people, but they're certainly accelerating what they can do on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, my concern, if I were back in my audit days, this would drop materiality. If I use this definition or the FASB's definition, current or prospective, this creates a lot of problems. It really drops the numbers. If we're speaking solely on a quantitative basis, it's going to drop levels of materiality. So it just encourages all to collectively think about not just today, but 5-10 years from now.
I'm sorry, how does it do that?
If you and I traditionally, Gary, would sit and say, oh, if it's less than 5% of income or capital or revenues or something, we go, it's not going to change my view. What that was saying was, I'm not going to rerun my model because of that difference. Mm-hmm. What I'm learning more and more is that even small changes in numbers that you and I would dismiss as irrelevant or small may be interpreted, and I'm not going to say will be, but may be interpreted by computer-aided techniques to have far more consequence and therefore change a decision than you and I looking at it with the naked eye would come to that conclusion. In other words, you and I would miss the point of that change, that small change in number or no change in number, because it's taking that issue, that data point, and comparing it to other data points that are outside the financials, and it's drawing maybe a different conclusion than you and I would draw.
But isn't that the CFO's job, to understand the totality of the disclosures of the company and what's relevant?
But if you use this definition, mm-hmm. okay, and you put it in a world where I'm not running one or two scenarios, I'm running 1,000 scenarios, and I'm doing it all instantaneously, the number that you dismissed as irrelevant 10 years or 20 years ago is extremely relevant today.
But isn't that just a change in the assessment that you're making about what could reasonably be expected, rather than something that's fundamentally wrong with the definition?
I'm not saying anything's wrong with, well, I have a few more thoughts, but I think regardless of the definition that you come up with, I'm just suggesting that we all need to be thinking about it's no longer just solely a human reading it, and I'm only picking on Gary because we're older, and we came up in a different age, and I'm not going to pick on Hans. We came up in an age where reading it was my judgment of materiality, and I don't think that's where we should be focused on.
Well, that's certainly something that we try a better grip on ourselves.
Yeah. And it's a little scary when you think about the implications. So.
Yeah. In terms of job security, is that what you mean?
That's one aspect, yes.
But it would tip you towards more disclosure, right? Potentially.
Yeah, this whole notion of better and more effective communication and the amount that I can consume dramatically changed. Now, obviously, on the preparation or production side, the amount that can be produced is also dramatically increased. So there's this escalation effect. I can produce more, distribute more, and consume more. Yeah. Wow.
And more frequently.
Yeah. And more frequently. I didn't want to go there, but yes.
All right.
So you ready for the next round?
Yeah, you've helpfully preempted one of my slides, actually. I'm very grateful.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's wonderful. I won't have to say very much at all. Okay, so moving on then to agenda paper two, which is on the...
Are we finished on the definition?
Oh, sorry, no, I had understood that was work.
No, I don't think... How was I thinking?
That was the first word.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, I thought we were going to go through the underlying things individually. Did you want them all at one time?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, I will be very quick on this. Obviously, we talked about could. I understand there's some translation issues with could. In the U.S., we've debated that could versus would and how wide that is. Reasonably expected. I can reasonably expect a lot of things. I can reasonably expect investors to make good decisions. I can reasonably expect them to make bad decisions. I would encourage you to think about where reasonably is placed there in the sentence. It should be placed in relationship to the users, a reasonable user, and what conclusions they would draw. In the word influence, I struggled with that, so I made a couple marginal notes. I know that in US GAAP we've used the words like changed or influenced, but again, I tie that in with the computer-aided techniques. Change and influence, there are a lot of things. If you just use the word influence, virtually everything is material. Okay? So if you were thinking computers, you would probably just use the word change, and even there, it's going to change something. Even small incremental differences become more and more will have some impact and change in particular. Primary users, I think we've already talked about a couple different ways. Debt versus equity, I think of page one holders as maybe primary users, page one on a Bloomberg term, those are the biggest holders. But I've been thinking more and more about fundamental analyst versus quantitative analyst, and there's a blending of those. So which are the most primary? Who is going to be setting the price, and is the notion of who is driving the price maker of a security, is it the price taker? I assume it's the price maker that we're talking about, and maybe we need to work that concept in there. Let me just stop there, because there are a couple other things, but I think that those are the more meaty issues I think we need to think about.
Could I just clarify, sorry, the concept of reasonable user,
I it's an expectation that a reasonable user would influence a reasonable user's, excuse me, well, it says, I have a reasonable expectation that would influence the decisions of the primary user. I know primary users make mistakes, so should I have an expectation that there'd be a mistake made from the information? Is that what you're trying to convey?
Okay, so by reasonable user, we assume that users are...
But that's, it doesn't say, it's reasonable is associated with expect. It's not necessarily associated with the user. The user is the primary user, whether they're reasonable or not. Okay? The reasonable is associated with influence decisions. I can reasonably expect that people will make mistakes.
We do have a concept in the conceptual framework which discusses the notion of the primary users and talks about them having sort of, I can't remember the exact wordings, but it's all this idea that they're going to, you know, analyze the information on a reasonable basis, but look at it with appropriate due diligence, effectively.
With knowledge, and yeah. they didn't. This isn't the first set of financials that they picked up. They've done some homework in advance. Yeah. They've learned things. Yeah. I'll stop there.
We were trying to address.
We've got everything covered, haven't we?
We're trying to address a different point, right? Mm. Which was that could influences, you know. Everything sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And that's why we're shifting back to the archon to would yeah. instead of could. So.
Well,
yeah.
Which is beyond a tidy up for us.
All right. A reasonable day. Thank you very much. Let's go on.